Let's pick up now then at verse 15 of chapter 2. When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told them. Beloved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, how do we typically announce the birth of a child? How do we typically do that to our family? Most likely we call them up. We tell them, baby's been born. What about to our church family? Well, especially lately, we use church social. Now, how did the announcing of the birth go when it came to the birth of Jesus Christ, our Savior? Well, there was quite an announcement. It was announced by an angel. And then a whole bunch of angels joined in the announcement, as it were, singing heavenly joy and glory, glory to God in the highest. What an announcement that was. And no wonder. Was not the birth of Jesus, was that not a huge event in the history of this entire world, in the fulfillment of God's salvation plans for this world? But then again, think about it for a moment. Jesus' birth was announced at night when most people were sleeping. It was announced in the fields, in the countryside of Bethlehem, while most people were in the towns and in the cities. And therefore it was announced to just a few isolated, despised shepherds. Which meant that the shepherds were the ones who actually announced the birth of Jesus to the people. And we could ask, if God ensured that all Israel, if God ensured that all Israel was gathered together in front of Mount Sinai to hear him giving his law when they came out of Egypt, why didn't the angels come down in the presence of all the people of Bethlehem, of all the people of Jerusalem, of all Israel, and then sing their song? You ever thought about that? Beloved, as we head towards Christmas, let's have a look at this glorious and yet not so glorious birth announcement. We proclaim God's word this morning then under this theme: the Lord uses the shepherds to announce to his people the gospel of Christmas. We'll see four things this morning. First of all, the strangeness of this method. the prophetic character of this method, the calling in this method, and the equipping power of this method. We read what happened. A bunch of paltry shepherds were quietly going about their regular business of caring for their sheep at night, keeping them enclosed, keeping them safe from surrounding predators. It's dark when all of a sudden the glory of the Lord shone all around them and an angel from on high appeared in front of them and fear gripped them. And then they heard this angel proceed to make an announcement that was huge, that was so great, that even the angel himself, as it were, he stuttered, "Born today in the city of David, the Savior, the long-awaited Savior, the Christ, the long-awaited Messiah, anointed one who will truly save God's people, the Lord, one who is God himself." And then, as if that's not enough yet, suddenly a whole multitude of the heavenly hosts appears and they break out together in glorious song, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom He is pleased." And then it's all over. The heavenly glory light recedes. The angels leave back to heaven. The song fades into the distance. The darkness descends back to normal. Now try and imagine for a moment being one of the shepherds standing there. Wow! What just happened? What did we just hear? This is incredible! And Luke, indeed, he lets us in on their conversations. Literally, he says, "And it came to pass, as the angels left from them into heaven, the shepherds were speaking to one another." And as we listen into their conversation, notice the sentiment that right away comes to the fore. Let's go! Verse 15. "Let's go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." Now, why does this "let's go," why does that grip them? Does it grip them because they really wondered if what they heard was true? Did this really happen? No. They know it is true. Verse 15, they say, "It has happened. The Lord Himself made it known to them." And thus for them, it's a reality. There's no doubt about it. So why didn't they go? It's because of what the angel said to them. Verse 12, the angel specifically said to them, This will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger. This will be a sign for you." You see what's going on here? God, through His angel, has basically commanded the shepherds to go to Bethlehem to see the sight with their own eyes. Literally, they say to each other, "Let us then go through until Bethlehem." The meaning is, let's go through all the different sheepfolds where there are mangers. Let's go all the way from here, all the way till Bethlehem, till we find the sight of a newborn baby in a manger. They set out with haste. And they indeed, they find a sight. Verse 16, they found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. Our God confirms to the shepherds what the angels told them. People might challenge their story as to what happened. That's what unbelief always does. But there is no way they will now be thrown. They heard the message with their own ears. They saw the angels singing. They saw the heavenly glory shining down around them. And they saw the baby lying there in a manger, just as the angel had said. And what did they then do? Verse 17, and when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. They announced this birth to God's people. What the angel had told them about this child, they in turn told to others. How indeed this child was a very, very special baby that had just come into this world. How this baby was the Christ, the Messiah, the Savior, the long-awaited Messiah, the great Son of David. But again, if you think about it, this is also strange. And I already touched on this in the introduction. Let me expand on this a bit more. God chose then, you could say, to announce this birth of His own Son via shepherds. Now, shepherds in those days were a despised class of people because of how these shepherds, that's the way shepherding was done, how they had to be with the sheep all the time. It made it very difficult for them to carry out all the ceremonial regulations of the Mosaic law, especially as added on by the Pharisees. Therefore, they couldn't always keep clean. Shepherds were also known for getting involved in shady dealings. People, with reason, were often suspicious of shepherds. They were known for taking things for themselves. They were not allowed to testify in court cases. They were considered unreliable. So why send shepherds? Why make the announcement with shepherds? Why get such lowly people to announce the arrival of the greatest person ever in this world? Would Caesar have used shepherds to announce the birth of his son? Not a chance. Isn't this strange? It most certainly is. And yet, looked at from another angle, it's also fitting. And let me explain. At Christmas, the greatest human being ever came into this world. Just how great He is, just what He will all do and what He will all accomplish, that is so big that even the angel stutters, Savior, Christ, Lord. That's how it's written literally. At the same time, He appears so different. He doesn't appear there as a mighty king on a throne with powerful soldiers around Him. No, He appears there as an infant. Weak, dependent, lying there, not in a royal cradle, a rough manger, a feeding trough for animals, laying there in utter poverty. And therefore, in a way, shepherds announcing, that matches this, doesn't it? And beloved, this is all very revealing, which brings us to our second point, the prophetic character of this method. If we step back for a moment, what does this all make very clear to us? Well, the answer is this, that the great King, and that's our King today too, who has come into this world to establish His saving kingdom, that our King is very different than the kings of this world. And what counts for our King also counts for His kingdom. His kingdom comes in a very different way. His kingdom operates in a very different way. The glory of this kingdom is very great, but often it's hidden. And therefore also something very easy for us to miss. And therefore also the announcers of the feats and the exploits of this king, of the great things this king will do, that he will accomplish as the great king, the announcers too will be very different. And if you think about it, this is not a one-off situation. We find the same thing in the Old Testament already. Whom did God choose to serve as king of his special people in the Old Testament? It was David, who was a shepherd boy. Now think also of what happens later. After the king is born, and he grows up, and he goes to work, this king achieves a very remarkable victory. A victory that was the first in the history of this world. He defeated sin. He defeated death. He broke open the grave. He rose again on the third day. Now whom does this king send out to announce the accomplishment of these amazing feats to his people, to this world? Well, he sends out apostles. Most of these apostles were people from despised Galilee. For the most part, they were uneducated fishermen. You find this notation in Acts chapter 4, just after Pentecost. The leaders, they arrest Peter and John, and something astounds these leaders. Acts 4:13, now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated, common men, they were astonished. And yet they became the ones who announced the victory. And more than that, these apostles, they end up playing a very key role in the establishment of the New Testament Assembly of Kingdom Citizens, the church. And what's so important for us to realize in our day, beloved, is this. The same still applies. The kingdom of Jesus Christ, it is the greatest kingdom ever. It is the most glorious by far. Nothing on this earth comes even close to the glory of his kingdom. The kingdom of Jesus Christ gives salvation and blessings that no other kingdom in this world even comes close to, no matter how much wealth it has. The kingdom of Jesus Christ has promise that goes even beyond this life and the grave. What other kingdom has that? There is no kingdom that has such an incredible history, such an incredible story. Its message is truly amazing. Verse 18, everyone who heard what the shepherds said was amazed. Even those who don't accept this kingdom, don't accept this message as factual, they have to admit the message of the gospel is quite the message. It's quite the story. Who would ever have thought up something like that, let alone achieved it? And this saving kingdom in our day, it is poised, it is on the verge of breaking forth on this world in all its greatness and glory. That's all true. But who is announcing that kingdom today? Is it the most honorable, the most highly esteemed people of this world? Is it the makers and the shakers of our day? Is it the great intellects? Is it the highly regarded? No. It's just humble preachers. It's just elders who come into our homes. Paul calls them earthen vessels containing a great message. And you know, these preachers, they do not make up for their lack of outward appearance. They don't make up for that by fancy presentation either. They simply preach the Word. They open the Bible. They teach what the Bible says. That's all. And we can take this a step further. How else does our God announce His glorious kingdom? The renewing power of the Spirit of His Son, for example. How does He announce that to our children and to this world in which we live? Not by all kinds of fancy miracles or fancy shows. Rather, our God announces that simply by how we live in the day-to-day situations of everyday life. He uses that to serve as a light within our families, to attract our children to Christ, to serve as a light within our communities, to attract others to His saving kingdom. And therefore, the appearance of the shepherds announcing the birth of our Savior, really, it's prophetic as to how things will go in our day too. More than that, it comes with a calling. And that's our third point. Do you now see the calling that comes to us today in this passage? My people, I come to you again and again with news of great victories in my kingdom. Victories over enemies and over dangers, even enemies like sin and temptations and diseases and sorrows and death and frustration. I come to you with this news in very different ways. The way of hearing it from preachers, the way of hearing it from humble parents, the way of seeing it illustrated by how my people live. My people, I know that reality can so easily throw you. It might seem so unfitting and so indicative that really this kingdom is nothing great after all. But my people, don't be thrown by that. Don't be offended. And at this point, let's consider Mary. You know, it's very interesting that Luke suddenly speaks about Mary and her response to the announcement of the shepherds in verse 19. And again, if you really think about it, it's striking here. Though Mary is the mother of this baby, she needs this announcement. And she cherishes it. Just think of all that Mary has just gone through in the last year. For 9 months, she was pregnant, even though she never had sexual intercourse with any man. Try explain that to others. She had to wrestle with how to inform Joseph of the reality that she was pregnant. And just when travel became more and more difficult, they didn't have cars in those days, she had to go with Joseph all the way from Nazareth to Bethlehem because of a decree of the Roman emperor. And when she came to Bethlehem, there was no place for them in the inn. She had to give birth, her firstborn, in a barn or perhaps in a cave, whichever, we're not totally sure. But what we do know, it was in a place where animals normally gave birth. Just imagine the questions in her mind. And I'm supposed to be carrying in my womb and delivering the Son of God Himself? You know, thinking of this, we might almost think, would it not have been so encouraging, especially for Mary, to see and hear the angels singing like the shepherds had? But that privilege was not given to her either. And yet that does not mean that she was therefore not highly favored, or that God forgot about her. God took care that when she discovered that she was pregnant, when she felt that, she had a place to go, she had someone to talk to, Elizabeth. And so now when she gave birth, suddenly, out of nowhere, shepherds appear there, looking for the very thing that seemed to make no sense at all. A baby, a very, very, very great baby, lying in a manger. And she could hear the shepherds adoring him for his greatness. They knew who he was. Son of David, Savior, Christ, Lord. What does Mary then do? Does she just throw her arms in the air and say, "This makes no sense"? No. Rather, in words of verse 19, Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the verb here conveys continuity. She kept on thinking about these things. And she tried to see the connections and the significance of how things fit together. And undoubtedly, she too thought of how so much, in a way, was so strange, and in another way, was matching. And I already mentioned that this is part, that it's striking that Luke puts this in this passage. Why does he do that? What does the Holy Spirit tell us at this point with this? Now, likely we should keep in mind, first of all, that Luke, that of all the gospel writers, Luke alone speaks about the birth events in such detail as we have it here. And by including this note, Luke informs his readers how he knows all this in such detail. It's from Mary herself. And she thought long and hard and deep about these things. What happened, therefore, was firmly embedded in her mind. And undoubtedly, in his research for this gospel, Luke sat down and spoke a lot with Mary. But there appears to be more to it yet. Luke brings up Mary, in the way he writes, he brings up Mary as one of the hearers of the shepherds. All who heard the shepherds were amazed. But Mary, one of the hearers, did more. She treasured up what the shepherds reported. She pondered them in her heart. And beloved, there's a calling in this. My people, that's what you too should do with this announcement. It's different. It's strange. It's so unconventional. It seems so unmatching. But think about it. Think about it deeply. Think about it constantly. Think about it in the context of redemptive history. How things, on the one hand, don't seem to make sense, and at the same time, they match. And at this point, notice also the shepherds, what they do when they're done their announcing. Verse 20, the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told them. See what's happening here? The song of the angels is starting to catch on. The shepherds, knowing what they know, having seen the sign driving home what they heard, they're taking the song over. They too are glorifying and praising God. Is that not exactly what we are called to do today as well? Is that not exactly what will happen when the fullness of the kingdom comes? All creation will do this again. And what does that do today already? The answer, beloved, is it equips. And that's our final point. Mary hears the announcement of the shepherds, and she treasures and ponders everything they say. No, Mary is not yet home free. The king has come, but the fullness of his glory is not yet there. In fact, Mary may, right at this moment, she could have a hard time. Her son is there lying in a manger, so weak, so fragile. His announcers, they're just paltry shepherds. And soon she's going to have to flee to Egypt. Life will not be easy for her. Imagine seeing your own son unjustly nailed to a cross. But with the announcement, the Lord from on high, he gives her what she needs to go on. And the shepherds too. They return to their sheep, to the reality of their despised life. But they too may now go on in their shepherding with a new song in their hearts. Beloved, do you see the point? The kingdom has not come in all its fullness today yet either. Yes, there has been progress. There has been amazing progress. The payment for sin has now been made. Our King has conquered death. Our King has poured out His Spirit upon us. We hear that song of the angels starting to sound all over this world and even in our own sinful hearts. But still, the fullness of the kingdom is not yet here. And sometimes that reality can really hit. And you know, here we can think of what Nathan and Rosalie Hayek heard this past Monday. The cancer is back. How does that make sense? Healing. Wonderful healing. The birth of a new baby. And then cancer's back. It's so unfitting, isn't it? But beloved, the reality is this. Christmas has come. The Savior has been born. Though born as a weak infant, He has defeated death. And through the announcement of His birth, and also the announcement of His victory, also today, via the humble preaching, via visits from the elders, that often seems so unfitting, perhaps even at times disconcerting. But beloved, don't be offended. Instead, listen carefully to the news. It could not be better. Salvation from Herod's, from poverty, from cancer, from hardship. It's here and it's coming. Let that sink in. Treasure up the news. Ponder it in your heart. Allow that song of praise and glory to our God develop. For you know, in this way too, the Lord will provide for His people with everything they need, day by day, week by week, whatever the circumstances may be. Beloved, ponder the announcement. hear the song of the angels starting to rise. And take courage, whatever your circumstance may be, and go on in faith. Amen.